This is the November 17 edition of Commodity Week.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, let's begin with this question, Wayne Nelson. There's a feeling across the countryside, and Informa used some of these numbers this week, that there will be a pretty hefty switch from corn acres to soybeans, something in that 3.6 maybe million acres for corn lost for this coming year as compared to the current one, and maybe more than 4 million acres of soybeans next year. Do you think this is really a possibility?
Well, I think it is, Todd. I mean, we looked this year and we saw not great corn yields, but we saw tremendous bean yields, number one, and we saw good bean prices and terrible corn prices. So basically, the farmer's going to be a little short of cash going into the spring. If the price relationship stays the same, we're going to see more people planting beans and corn.
Wrong. I saw a farmer survey of 53 farmers. And 36% will not switch. They're going to stay in the rotation. 38% need $75 more per acre, and the other remaining need at least $50 per acre. So, no, Wayne's correct. Maybe more in the fringe areas. They're pushing the pencil. We'll see what the local cash situation is from area to area. But we will probably lose some corn acres and gain some bean acres. To what matter, we'll figure that out this winter.
Well, I think the economics are there. If you look at the new crop prices, for example, and compare it to last year's February prices for crop insurance, we're about a dollar above those prices on soybeans, and we're a little bit under those prices on the corn. So the economics are there. But I believe there was some switch last year already because the economics were kind of there last year as well. So I'm not sure we're going to see those big numbers like we saw Informa talk about today. I think there will be some switching, but I'm not sure it'll be that large.
How much pressure will the crop from South America, both corn and soybeans, put onto the marketplace for old crop, what I'll call old crop or the current crop marketing year?
Well, I think that kind of depends on the competition or competitive place that the U.S. has in the world. Right now, we're very competitive on corn. We've got a lot of competition on corn around the world, but we're price-wise, we're about the cheapest corn in the world. On soybeans, we're there too. That's probably going to change as we move into January, February, and that's where I think it affects the markets the most, is on the cash side and us being able to get those exports out when we get into where the South American harvest starts coming in.
Bill Mayer, of course, is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. Kurt, is there much of a differentiation from one side of the nation to the other as it relates to cash price and basis?
Yeah, we're seeing the typical east versus west. Here in the east, we've firmed up quite a bit. We've had an aggressive export market. Ethanol guys have been real aggressive booking some inventory. I think a lot of this cash grain's been moved or booked for at least till end of the year. The Western Belt is another story. Rail transportation is actually fairly decent, but they were slow getting the crop out, and they've got a lot of inventory to go through. So the function of the market in here is probably move a little bit of the grain from the west to the Eastern Belt over time.
This is about consumption and usage. How will that be used? Will we send it out the export market? Usually at this time of year, we tend to be loading, I think, soybeans rather than corn. And how good has ethanol usage been?
Ethanol usage has been tremendous, Todd. We've actually even shipped ethanol down into Brazil and around, and our markets are good. This last week, so we saw the numbers today. The ethanol production was up from last week, and the stocks were down. Wow, that's a good thing. Now, we're seeing the ethanol producers in our area over there bidding anywhere from 10 to 25 over for corn between now and Christmas. We're seeing up in the Fort Wayne area that they're having some real problems with the avomatoxin, and they're not wanting to buy, and they're having to maybe bring corn from out west in trains or whatever to blend out what they have there along with it. So we're going to have some shortages in the northeast part of Indiana, and the basis levels for good non-vomitoxin corn are going to be very good. But we're hearing that Decatur is probably going to go as high as 20 over here the week before, or once we get into December delivery.
So the cure for low prices apparently is low prices, and consumption is beginning to chew some through some of this very large crop.
Yeah, and the one thing you have to remember is they're maybe going to pay 20 over because farmers aren't going to let go of it. Even, generally this time option price is good, but that isn't 350 or 360, and the farmers want at least 360 or 370 to let go of corn before the first of the year.
Will they get it?
Well, I think, as we're looking here, I know down in Washington, Indiana, they're 25 over the D's, so you put it there, they're going to get to 370. Yes, they will. And I think that basically along the way, in the areas that need corn, the cash price is going to be 375 to 380.
And the question then is, should they sell it?
Well, I think that those basis levels are very good. One of the things that I think that a lot of people are talking about is, lock in the carry if you've got your storage. And we can do that by going out, and selling July and picking up the 26 or 20 or 22 or 23 cents. But if they're already 25 over and we do have good weather in South America, we don't do that. We might want to go back and, buy a March and sell a July for the spread to see if we can pick up some of that carry that way.
This is an old familiar pattern that farmers haven't been in for quite some time, or they're still getting used to again.
Yeah, we're kind of in that situation where you have to look at trying to pick up the 20 cents in the carry, the 20 cents in the bases, that type of thing, and add that onto your bottom line. I agree with Wayne that from the standpoint of when you have these kind of basis levels, I think the key to the farmer this year on corn is to look out far enough and don't wait till you get to that point where you have to do something. You need that cash flow to make your decision because everybody else is going to be in the same boat. So you need to kind of look out ahead of it and say, okay, I'm going to need to move this many bushels in January. Let's see if we can get that in place now whenever we get these opportunities, because I think we'll have opportunities, but they'll be short-lived because farmers will take advantage of it. We have a lot of corn to sell out here.
Yeah, the name of the game is for guys who went ahead and put corn in commercial storage, getting your 20 cents back, and I think that's possible. But two, visiting with bankers and guys that visit with bankers, they're not going to want to extend these operating loans until they knew some cash inventory. So the risk is we could see another so-called harvest pressure after the first of the year as we see a truly a market develop on liquidation generating cash dollars for cash flow needs.
I made note that you said getting your 20 cents back, but you didn't say anything about getting another 20 cents on top of that.
Well, that's the challenge. If this demand stays good here in the East, it's possible. We are seeing some appreciation in basis levels on corn, as long as that demand's there, that's going to be the name of the game here. Try to take a little out of the middle here as we go through this winter.
Right now, the United States Department of Agriculture is gearing up to collect about 80,000 surveys from producers in the month of December, preparing for the January final crop production and the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, grain stocks report as well, that will come in from all those storage places across the United States, I think about some 15,000 if I remember correctly. What do you think those numbers will show us, and will the corn crop grow in size again?
I don't think it will, Todd, and that's because we aren't seeing any piles in a lot of places where there's generally piles. We've seen the corn that's moved on through. The Eastern Belt didn't have quite the corn that the Western Belt did, and I'm not driving around out there. So if it's going to be bigger, or if it's going to be as big as they said last time, it's going to have to be west of the Mississippi.
You think that's possible, or do you agree with him?
I agree with Wayne. I'm not sure that can happen because they sure did raise those bushels up west of the Mississippi this last time, and it was a big surprise. When you looked at the objective data, I'm not sure exactly where it all came from, but to have that kind of a jump, or we may keep it where it's at, but I don't think we're going to get a lot bigger than that.
So there were 3 and 4 bushel increases in a lot of the western corn belt states.
Right. I think you hit a good point here right after the last crop report on the survey they did in mainly North Dakota. The thing is, the bushels are there. The key is now is the usage, make sure we keep a good solid demand base. When you look at the carryout estimate, 2.4 billion corn ending stocks, we've got plenty of supply to work through. And that's the thing in through here as we move forward is to see if we can't shrink that ending stocks, because we're not going to get bullish until we take ending stocks down below 2 billion bushels.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the consumption or usage side. What that might look like, we'll know more in January when the grain stocks figures come in on the feed and residual usage. Ethanol usage is good. That means a lot of DDGs are around. China's not taking them like they were. China also, I don't think, is importing nearly as much of the sorghum crop at this point. So there's some sorghum maybe around there. There's a whole lot of wheat around that might be feed usage as well. Is this going to play into the corn market sometime in January?
Well, we'll see how the cattle and feed report comes out here Friday. Hog and pig report continue to show we've got livestock numbers. So we got a large feed use base to work from. It's sort of a miscellaneous category because whenever you have big crops, you have big feed use, and small crops, you have small feed use. But when you look at exports in general, they're on fire. Corn sales are 100% of a year ago. Bean sales are strong. Wheat sales are real respectable. So we've got to continue to monitor the weekly export inspections report to make sure we continue to ship out this crop. The key shipments on corn is coming here after the first year, once the trade focuses to the southern hemisphere on beans. So exports is sort of the key in through here to try to make sure we keep that ending stocks number from growing anymore.
How close of tabs are you keeping on the livestock numbers, the number of animal units that are available? Livestock in particular, the cattle have been pretty tough this year for those producers.
Yeah, we look more at the profitability of the various things. The poultry has really stayed pretty profitable. It's not as profitable as it was maybe a year ago, but it's still at profitable levels. The hogs look profitable at this point. Cattle and that's a little bit tougher there, and we don't see the profitability there, but I think we do see the desire for most of the feeders to use corn, where, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they may not have been using as much corn in the ration. So I think that has come back into the front a little bit, increased usage of corn. But the reality is, I guess I don't see the usage showing up in January that early in the year. I think we may have to get further out in the year to get a little bit farther down the road. We just have so much corn to sell against these rallies that I think that's a lid that kind of stays on the market for right now.
So let me make sure I've got some of that right. Your thought process is that we may not see as much corn usage in January in that first quarter or in that first, yeah, the first quarter or of the year as maybe some are expecting?
No, I think the usage is strong, Tom,
okay.
Todd, but I think the whether it affects the market or not may be further down the road as we see that continuing as we go into the spring and summer.
Well, I think that there's good enthusiasm in the hog and cattle market both. The chickens are going well. Chinese hogs are all-time good numbers. They're wanting and they're importing beans for the bean meal for those. I think that we are seeing feeder cattle pick up a little bit again here like that. I think that there's a lot of people that like the taste of meat, and they're going to continue to eat a lot. But the fact of the matter is, what's really going to affect the corn market is going to be the weather in South America or whatever the event is. Now, another thing, are we going to have inflation, as has been forecast by about every news media out there now, that Donald is going to cause some inflation along the way? Inflation causes grain to go up. And if we can get that grain to go up, those farmers are going to get that extra 15 cents beyond the 20 cents that they had for their storage, and they're going to, people like Todd that stored some of their grain will be happy. So, you know, I think that Donald has created a lot of enthusiasm, and I think that they're going to look at some good things happening if we can get this inflation building a little bit. I think that they will probably see the interest rates raised in December, and I hope they only go to 0.25%, so they can look to add a little bit as they go along. The dollar strength, everybody says, is going to be terrible. Kurt and I talked about this earlier today. It doesn't always work that way. I saw a lot of times, well, you had strong dollars. We've had good grain prices as long as the economy is flowing, the livestock's being fed, and there's need. But the big thing that's got to happen is some weather event somewhere in the world that's going to cause us to put, you know, more than 50 cents on the corn or more than a dollar on the beans.
So generally, Curtin, you and Wayne talked about this apparently. If the U.S. dollar is going upward, that puts a damper on commodities, all kinds of goods coming out of the United States, because they get more expensive for other nations to buy and other folks to purchase overseas. The opposite is true when it's going down, but maybe you're thinking USDA has set their sights on what the exports are going to be and countries are going to import that kind of grain from the United States.
Well, we could do a seminar on this, but when you look at the big picture here, if we're going to have a higher dollar, which we're going down that path, then you got to get stuff sold and get rid of it, because that's going to be bearish. I don't believe that needs to be the thought process as a producer. I don't believe the dollar knows how many acres you're going to plant. I don't believe the dollar knows what the weather is going to be in the southern hemisphere or in the U.S. Now, if you're a international grain trader, it's important. If you're a mutual fund manager where you trade different countries, it's important. But from a producer's point of view, I don't know of anybody that makes a decision on how many acres to plant or when to sell their commodity to the strength or weakness of the dollar. I had a guy say, Kurt, let's do this. Let's trade the grains according to what the dollar does. Well, about $42,350 later, this guy says, Kurt, I don't think this is working out very well. And so we kind of gave up on that process. I get caught saying strong dollar, weak dollar, because it's a conversational piece. And it's became a conversational piece in the industry because our business is so competitive that with today's technology, we can do an overlay chart of prices and strength and weaknesses of the dollar. And it's very popular to say, you know, let's look at this. I think you had a very good point over the years, Todd. If you're going to compare the dollar in the grain market or grain industry, you need to have the dollar compared to a true export graph to see if it really generates export business or slows down export business.
I will not take responsibility for that. I'll give that to University of Illinois agricultural economist Darrell Good, who has long said that most countries at the beginning of the year will know approximately how much grain they might need to import, and it varies not a lot. And the variance, however, can be, as we have made note, from 1.2 to 2.2 billion bushels for corn over time.
Yeah, and I think it works on a longer-term basis rather than a shorter-term basis. That's one point I'd like to make. Another point that I'd like to make is we have to keep in mind that it is an index, a dollar index, thereby follows. And the countries that you're evaluating against really kind of made a difference after the election there. And the third thing, I think we should make sure we mention that China still holds the key here when it comes to the overall grain stocks in the world. That last report here a week ago, China has 47% of the ending stocks. I know I've probably said that on every commodity week I've done here, but I think that's a real important point, that of the stocks that are left in the world at the end of the year, China has 47% of them. That kind of tightens up the rest of the world situation a little bit more than maybe sometimes the market sees it as.
So that would be on the world-ending stocks for
world-ending
corn.
Stocks.
Right. Yeah, so let's turn to China and soybeans in particular. Their import number from USDA as an expectation for the year is really big. I think tops 2 billion bushels, if I remember correctly. Will China continue to import that big a number? And frankly, it sounds to me, if that's the case, there will be plenty of soybeans coming out of the United States and South America both.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm in the boat right now of don't argue with something that's showing to be true. I mean, just about every day or every three times a week we have sales that we make to China on soybeans, and they don't seem to be showing any signs of slowing down. So it's hard to argue against that right now. The real question probably in my mind is, what does the crop in South America do? How does that affect their basis levels and their export price levels competitively with us, and how long can we hang on to continuing to send those exports out? So maybe not so much are they going to buy that amount of beans total, but who are they going to buy them from will be the real answer.
Wayne, do we have an idea in South America what the planting conditions really have been like, how far along they are? Are they planting more or less acres? What's the early season call for that crop?
Well, they made good progress. Now, Argentina was extremely wet, and we saw a lot of pictures from a lot of the areas down there that wasn't just wet. It was doggone, you know, water a foot and a half deep on some of the fields in some of the areas. That area is supposed to not have rain for 7 to 10 days. They said they should make some good progress. As talked about in the weatherman and the show earlier today, you know, he says that area should get planted and do well. We are a little bit dry in the north. They're supposed to get a little rain and coming on. All in all, the planting progress has been very good. Argentina, of course, we're seeing a little shift more to corn. No tariffs on the corn, lots of tariffs still on the beans. So we're going to see a little extra corn not down in Argentina that way. So, but it looks like we're planted early, and it looks like that should come off early enough to get a good start and plant a better chance of getting the safrina crop in. Bad news for American farmers.
Do we know, because Argentina mostly, if I remember correctly, exports bean meal as opposed to whole beans, how much of a competition that really creates and whether that's a big problem for the United States at all as we look forward? Maybe not at this point. Let's talk a little bit about what the price of soybeans will do. Technically, where do we stand, Kurt Kimmel?
Well, beans, rigged market. It's just rigged because we've been selling it and it keeps going higher, and it's just unbelievable what's going on in through there. But that's the perfect storm. Guys are sold up, so we're going to have something happen this winter and through here. Bean demand's huge. It's strong. As you know, we talked about China. They're going to continue to buy beans, whether it's from us or the Southern Hemisphere, because they're on a timely schedule. But it's not only a good export or usage end-user market, it's also an investor's market. It seems the commodity funds are in there. Here in the last 2 weeks, overnight trade's been phenomenal in beans, and it's either Asia booking some future needs on a hedge or else Chinese speculators trading in our U.S. bean market overnight.
I think I'd like to get this from each of you. Generally, as we went through the fall, most would say if you're going to sell a crop across the scale, go ahead and make it the soybeans. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think so. If I was sitting here today with beans and I had to make a decision on whether to store them or sell them, I'd probably go ahead and make a sale, depending on your area and where the basis levels are. I think that as far as versus corn, I'd probably say that too. I'd probably sell the beans rather than the corn if I had to make a choice between the two.
Yeah, that's my question really is, as we close out the year and you farmers may very well need cash flow.
And part of that is just when I look at my clients' yields for the most part on soybeans this year and the prices that they can get profitability-wise, that's they're at good levels, and I don't want to see that slip away if that would happen.
Exactly, Bill. I agree with you. That's a good point. The extra yields, the profitability, it helps make up on the corn side. But we kind of like having some cash replacements just in case, because like I mentioned, the guys, you load all your beans out, you know something's going to happen in through here, but you can do some replacement strategy for that 20 cents and be on board in case something happens in the Southern Hemisphere or here in the U.S. next summer.
Agree with Kurt, and I think I want to say that, you know, what we're looking at probably is we don't really see with the world conditions, with the carryout and everything, that corn's going to do much more than 50 cents increase on what we're looking at here. So we want to buy a bull call spread, sort of spread out 50 to 60 cents on the beans. A lot of things can happen. Beans move faster, beans move harder, and I'm a little bit favorable that we could see something happen to beans. Fundamentally, they're bad, but technically they're very strong, so they can move a dollar. We're looking at maybe, you know, a $10 to $11 type call spread on those. So we look at replacing at least part of what you sell and looking at it, and I'm a little bit favorable to beans.
Are you so much favorable to beans that you're not willing to price out next year's crop? I was thinking, I was going to ask whether you should, but I'm guessing maybe that question is moot for you at this point.
Well, just before I left, I got a phone call, and that's why I was about 5 minutes late getting here, and it was from a farmer, and he says, how about pricing next year's beans? And I told him that over $10, probably closer to $10.20, we want to be pricing some. And he said, when could that happen? And I said, we generally see a little bounce going into Thanksgiving, so let's talk Monday.
We continue to like to manage risk, and we like every year to have a scale-up selling approach. So we like to have those orders spread out in an uprising market that worked perfect last year, because when the market goes up, you wait, and it starts going down, and it's too late. One of the simplest things you can do is put a price floor under you, so that way if the market keeps going up, you still have your cash beans to actually physically sell too. So there's all kinds of strategies in there to kind of protect your downside but leave your upside open.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Going back to the replacing ownership, I think it just boils down to what's the most economical way to do that, and probably holding it in storage isn't the most economical. One other thing, we sit here sometimes and wonder why we continue to have this support on beans, but I would urge the listeners to go out, look at that last report, look at your vegetable oil ending stocks in the world, and they've gone down really, I think, since about the last 4 years. I think we're starting to see some of this that the U of I had talked about in some of their ag economic summits a couple of years ago, with this vegetable oil, this biodiesel thing is starting to come a little bit to fruition, and we continue to see the oil stocks dropping. So I think that Canada and Malaysia has had some problems as well. So I think there are some fundamental reasons out there to maybe see this port, this price supported.
Let's wrap up. Get a final word from each of you. I think, Wayne Nelson, that will start with you. Of course, you're from Newmarket, Indiana.
Well, Todd, I think that a lot of times we see a little bit of a spike up in prices going into Thanksgiving. It looks like the bulls might get the turkey at Thanksgiving this year. And we're going to look for a little rally, and we're going to price some of that new crop corn and beans.
Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois.
Well, if the bulls get Thanksgiving, I'm scared the bears might get Christmas. So I agree we probably need to keep a close eye on this market here. Even though there's some optimism, don't sit on cash grain. Cash grain could be toxic to your operation if you hang on to it too long.
And Bill Mayer is with Strategic Farm Marketing.
Sure can't disagree with what these two guys said. I think that the key that came out today is you really need to have some target prices in there. Whether you're talking about old crop or new crop, you need to know what levels you got your offers in at. And if you do get this rally between now and Christmas, I think you got to take advantage of it to make sure you have the cash flow till you get to the end of February or so.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at WILLAG.org. There you may always listen to the whole of our program. Our thanks to our panelists today, including Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, Kurt DJ, that's Donald Jr., Kimmel, he's from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.